All right, welcome everybody at Bitcoin Amsterdam 2022, day two, and with another guest. You're Sergey from Bitrefill. Steph is here, so sure. Let's get started. And Bitrefill is the place to, through the sale of digital gift cards, to do almost anything with Bitcoin. So we're curious about a lot of other things. We'll get to that later.
Yes. First, Sergey, we will start with yes or no questions.
All right.
It's the hardest part of the show, man.
There are only three now.
I'm not afraid.
Okay. I explained to Sergey that normally we prepare 10 questions, and the thing is, we really dive into your history.
Right.
But now, because we have a lot of interviews at the conference, we don't have the time to really dive into your history.
That's
so
good. I prefer to keep my dirt
hidden.
Of course.
Okay. So the first question is living, and you can, may only answer it by yes or no, right? So live on crypto is the slogan of your company Bitrefill. Do you live 100% on crypto?
No, unfortunately.
Have you slept more than 4 hours last night?
Yes, but not by much.
I will use the Bitcoin Lightning NFC card from Connect the World on the conference.
Yes, obviously.
Well, you're a speaker at Bitcoin Amsterdam conference. What did you talk about?
I was on a panel about Lightning and adoption and scaling and all of the usual stuff. And then just before, I was on a panel with Giacomo Zucco talking about Bitcoin and crypto and multicoin and all of these things. And discussing how to achieve the Bitcoin dream in the best way.
Yeah.
And which one of the two talks did you prefer the most? Because the first one was in the main at the main stage, and the second one was
the latter one was in the main. I mean, I don't know. You know, the other one was something different. Talking about Lightning, I do all the time.
Yeah.
So I guess it's more interesting. But I feel like we didn't get to the meat of it. Like we had prepared a lot of the thoughtful disagreements, but we ran out of time.
Always time.
Bitcoin dream. That triggered me because that's an interesting topic, of course. And you can envision a lot of things and hypothetically thinking. And
different people have different dreams for Bitcoin.
So
there is not one Bitcoin dream. Again, you can disagree and prefer a certain vision and so on. But I mean, we all want Bitcoin more.
Yeah. And we also want more Bitcoin.
Definition of more, exactly.
Yeah. In 2019, 6% of all purchases on Bitrefill were made through the Lightning Network. How much is it now? Can you give us some insights or stats?
It's around similar percentage, much higher absolute numbers. But the percentage is somewhere there. I think back then it was the vast majority was on-chain, and now there's broader spread across stable coins and things like that. So on-chain is a much smaller bit, whereas Lightning is gradually eating up the on-chain volume. So if you compare Lightning to on-chain, it's maybe 20%, 15-20%.
Okay.
Like
and are you thinking about maybe remove on-chain by the time, just so only using the Lightning Network?
Well, one day. My preferred way of doing it is when Lightning is at 90% and we can just turn it off. There's also scenarios with the core devs and whatever, if they make Bitcoin on-chain unusable for transactional use, then maybe it will happen sooner. I hope not.
Okay.
Your core business are gift cards for all different types of shops and brands, and so people can use and spend their sets. What services would you like to add in the near future?
Everything, man. Yeah, that's the thing. But the thing that people use the most, you know, I mean, here we got requests in the Netherlands for supermarkets and so on. They've already been relayed to the team. Yeah, we tried to add as much things as possible. Recently, we did a kind of a new thing in the US where you can pay credit card bills and mortgages and things like that. They're like regulated products, so it requires accounts and KYC and all of that jazz. But still, you can live on Bitcoin and not rely on the banking infrastructure, which is still, I think, a meaningful improvement.
And receiving your wages in sats or in Bitcoin?
Well, we don't offer you that, but we pay our people like that, we don't provide any external infrastructure.
But I think it's an example. By doing so, showing that it's possible, and for other companies also to.
A transactional Bitcoin company that doesn't pay people in Bitcoin. What are they even doing, honestly?
Indeed.
And you also accept other crypto besides Bitcoin. So shame on you. No, just kidding. Are Tero and RGB projects also something you keep an eye on?
Yes, closely.
And you are also planning to implement those services?
Most likely. I mean, it's all still theoretical. You know, I'm a practical guy. Bitcoiners, we always get excited about things that don't exist yet.
That's right.
Yeah, because things that don't exist are perfect.
Right? Until they are.
They're implemented, the people, we have to have this trade-off and this trade-off and so on, and it kind of gets less exciting. For me, it's like, no, I like the things that exist, that I can touch, that I can use. You know, I always, with all these people, it's like, yeah, well, hit me up when I can install a wallet and send some coins, and then I'm going to do that on the first day.
Cool. Well, in 2015, BitReveal was just you with two co-founders and two developers. How does it look now, 7 years later, your team?
Yeah, so it's a team of 60 people now.
60. And you all pay them in Bitcoin.
Not all. It's complex mess. Some people get paid in fiat. Some people get paid in stable coins and stuff
like
that.
Can they choose?
We try to accommodate to the best of our ability, let's say. But we have people in, the last time it was 25 countries, maybe it's 27 now or something like that. So, we try to figure out. It's a lot of figuring out.
Do they all work remote?
Yeah, we have a small office, but most of the people is remote.
And where's the office stayed
in? In Sweden.
In Sweden.
Okay.
Sure. And you offer gift cards through a lot of big companies like Amazon, MediaMarkt, IKEA, Foot Locker. Are local merchants also welcome, or shops that people use on a daily or weekly basis? For example, a butcher or a baker? Or
currently not so much. We haven't focused on that. There are other services that do this. I mean, we were all at the Bri thing yesterday, where Bitkassa had a very nice solution and so on. So we usually direct local merchants to things like that. There are like in Germany, there is like a brand for restaurants that we direct them to that then gets integrated in Bitrefill. So there are ways, but we don't have a good currently a good local merchant solution.
And is NFC also enabled on your gift cards? Can you pay using NFC maybe?
Good question. No, I don't think there are NFC gift cards. We have Apple Wallet gift cards, which I guess theoretically might work with NFC.
So you can add the gift card into your Apple Wallet and pay with Apple Pay.
I'm not sure you can. I'm not sure you can tap it though. I think you still need to scan the barcode.
Okay.
You're redeeming it, yeah. And in the USA, we see you can use to pay for car loans, for example. Are these things, also possible in Europe one day?
One day, for sure.
But now?
Yeah. Again, these things are regulated activities, right?
Yeah.
If it was just implementing an API, I would have already done it a long time ago. Everything that's regulated is a big fucking hassle, as we all know, which is why we try to encourage the circular economy. So we're working on it. We're working on it.
We were talking with Soft Simon not so long ago from Mempool, and he also said, well, it's possible to buy enormous things like apartments in Dubai, for example, and it's a whole financial freedom is different in a lot of countries. Of course, so perhaps If that changes, then there are more possibilities.
I mean, the more people use Bitcoin every day, the more it becomes normalized, right?
Yeah.
It fixes everything, you know, it fixes the UX, right?
Yeah.
Because when you have a lot of users, if there's a bug, you're going to hear about it. If you don't have many users, then it doesn't matter if you have a bug.
If you open source it, people will already have a solution for the bug.
Maybe, yeah.
So more adoption gives you more insight about the things that you are trying to fix.
Users is everything, you know, and I think as an industry, we need to spend more time talking to users and all kinds of users, depending on the different projects. I mean, there are a lot of projects that are, you know, focused on, you know, passionate Bitcoiners, people who go to conferences and so on. And that's easy because you meet them at conferences, right? If you have projects that are focused on the millions of people that use Bitcoin that don't necessarily go to conferences, it's harder, right? They're not on Twitter, they're not on conferences, and
it's
you need
to reach.
But it's very important to communicate with them to hear about, you know, what are they trying to do, what are the challenges, and it's very often surprising. And this goes back to, again, what is your individual vision for the Bitcoin dream? Is Bitcoin something for the passionate only, or is Bitcoin something for everybody in the world? Or do we want everybody in the world to be passionate about Bitcoin? Or is it enough that many people use it just as a tool, as a thing that, you know, you use it, you bought your thing, and you don't care much about it? Right. These are important philosophical questions that I think one can definitely disagree on, but just bringing them up and like taking them apart is usually helpful.
And what is the latest thing you are working on now with Bitrefill? There obviously are multiple things, but the biggest, newest thing.
I mean, there's a lot of products, features, improvements in the pipeline. Just more, bigger, better, I think, is a big thing. Closer integrations with wallets, Lightning stuff. I mean, the most important thing we do is the marketing efforts, because again, everything's about users. And personally, I think that we need, I mean, there are already millions of people who use Bitcoin in the world. We just need to get to them, and it's hard. And so like figuring that stuff out, drawing people into using our things and so on. I think that's, it's not sexy, but it's very important and meaningful stuff.
Yeah, it needs intermediates also, because we are very connected with our community, and there are so many different communities out there, and all those people have their own questions and needs. So let's hope that we get them all combined in their own way, right? Because that's important, their own thinking.
And you can also scale when the adoption is rapidly increasing. Bitrefill is also able to scale.
Sure. I mean, we're a big chunk of the circular economy. Too big for my personal taste. So, I mean, we take responsibility for the entire idea.
Why too big?
Because bigger, I believe there should be a lot of different things, you know.
So more tastes, more different.
More stuff, you know, more services. You know, I'm like, I love almost all of my competitors and other things and other companies. I think we need to collaborate more, share data, be transparent, at least at this stage. We're going to do some big efforts in terms of that, in terms of actually growing, you know, the transactional usage of Bitcoin, right? See how we can all collaborate better on that.
That's a nice ending, Steph.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm pretty curious what the future is going to bring us and you at Bitrefill, of course.
Yeah.
So
man.
We have a close look at what you guys are doing. So.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sergey.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
For featuring us. And,
you're welcome.
Well, we see you in a future show, maybe.
Yeah,
definitely.
Cool. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks.